I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and friend. We're going to Alan Tonelson, our guide for many years now on all things to do with American trade, manufacturing, especially imbalance, distortions, mispricing globally. Alan was a guide once upon a time when China was on top. Remember the kindly China that was a wingman to the Russians every once in a while? Earnest, dutiful, a developing nation. Well, no longer. The dragon is out of whatever hiding the dragon was choosing. How can you hide a dragon? But in any event, the dragon is unhappy because the tariffs imposed by President Trump once upon a time have not gone away with President Trump. And how do we know this? Gordon guides me to the Global Times. The Global Times is a publication in English that allows the Chinese authorities to shop ideas of what comes next, Gordon tells me. And what comes next might be the dragon breathing fire because those tariffs remain in place. Alan, 100 days or so into the Biden administration, Biden and Trump are on the same page, to follow the metaphor. Tariffs in place. Is this a surprise, Alan? Good evening to you.
Hi, Gordon, and hi, John. I should have said hi, John, first. It is something of a surprise to me because although President Biden clearly recognizes that political considerations alone make the unilateral lifting of America's China tariffs completely unacceptable, there's also no doubt that he's very responsive to it, in fact, owes his election largely to major forces in the American economy who urgently want those tariffs removed, namely Silicon Valley, offshoring happy multinational companies, Wall Street. And so I do remain a little surprised that he's resisted that pressure so far. And the pressure has been on, especially during the last 2 weeks or so, when China has been quite actively lobbying U.S. multinational companies and Wall Street firms and Silicon Valley businesses to get to the Biden White House and get them to lift those gosh darn tariffs.
The puzzle for me, Gordon, is the surprise here, the tariffs are in place. Does that tell us anything about the future? Or is this just they're going to get to it after 100 days?
Yeah, the Biden administration has not completed its China review. And there are a lot of China issues, including the tariffs, that have yet to be resolved. And I think the real issue here is what happens after that review is completed in a month or so. Because as Alan has said, there are powerful forces that want tariff relief. And the Biden administration, you know, might be willing to bargain away the tariffs for advantages in other areas. So, yeah, this is going to be critical to watch.
You have a question for Alan, Gordon.
Alan, there's two ways for companies to get tariff relief. One of them, of course, is for the Biden administration just to reduce or eliminate the additional Section 301 tariffs. Mm-hmm. The other is to give temporary exemptions from the tariffs. You've talked about these exemptions that have been the subject of intense lobbying. What do you think the Biden administration will do on the exemption route?
I think they're going to be sorely tempted to go that exemptions route to the extent that they would indeed like to lift China tariffs. And the appeal of the exemptions route is that it takes place largely behind closed doors. Not that it's actively secretive, but it's the kind of process that occurs inside government bureaucracies at meetings that are generally not covered by the mainstream media. Or frankly, by any news organizations. And therefore, if you can put enough pressure on an administration, or if you can make a seemingly compelling enough case, chances are you can get that exemption, have those tariffs lifted, and recover your ability to import various products from China free of charge.
Alan, Global Times does gossip, so I'm going to do gossip. What the heck, Alan? Okay. The gossip is that China's slowing. I read this by John Authors, the distinguished feature columnist who writes for Bloomberg in the evenings after the markets have closed. This is not his opinion. This is a collective opinion that China is slowing in some profound fashion. Does that change the tariff landscape, this case China is no longer bursting out with exports, but is hesitating in its conversion to the high end?
It's a very peculiar situation because we have seen numerous reports that China's exports globally have been growing robustly, that they've in many ways been leading China's recovery from the CCP virus-induced recession that it had suffered for about 2 months last year. And we've also seen just as many reports that many of those Chinese exports, despite the Trump tariffs, are landing in U.S. ports. What is downright weird, though, is that U.S. trade data kept by the Census Bureau is not picking them up yet. Now, one possible reason is that there's a big backlog in the West Coast U.S. ports through which many of these China products enter the U.S. market. But if you look at the trade statistics for other nations in East Asia, you don't see the same patterns. You see their exports to the U.S. remaining at fairly healthy levels, but China's are rather depressed.
Gordon, the puzzle here about China slowing, especially moving to the high end, there was that wonderful reporting in the Wall Street Journal about the flim-flam men that took a lot of money from Wuhan to build a high-end chip factory, and it's now just a concrete mausoleum. Do you think that these anecdotes add up to anything, Gordon? Is there some difficulty in China that we don't know about that isn't pure economics, some hesitation?
Yeah, I think the hesitation really is the Chinese consumer, because the Chinese economy is slowing because consumption is not robust. Now, the only way the Chinese economy has a path forward is really what was the path last year, and that is net exports. Net exports were really spectacular for China last year. That's the way they're going to get their economy out of the woods and this year. So this is the reason why these tariffs are so important for China, is because they do affect the amount of goods that they can export to the United States.
And yet here's the puzzle, Alan. I spoke with Australia again over the weekend. China has declared some kind of trade war, some weirdness with Australia, like they can take Australia out and beat it up and everybody will be intimidated. Well, one thing I've learned, you don't beat up the Australians. It doesn't happen. So how can China develop a trade policy that is accommodating and welcoming if it's persecuting its customer base or its client base?
Well, John, strangely enough, it's not only Australia, because the Chinese have also jeopardized their recently signed investment treaty with the European Union through the same kind of so-called wolf warrior diplomacy, where the Chinese either threaten or actually put into place retaliation against foreign companies, European companies, Australian companies, what have you, who basically protest even in the most modest and subdued ways China's human rights violations in places like Xinjiang and like Hong Kong. And certainly U.S. firms have come under this kind of pressure also. But what really makes the U.S. market so crucial to China is that so many of China's other important export markets are showing signs of slowing their economic recoveries precisely because the virus appears to be coming back. And this is especially true throughout the European Union.
Yes, Gordon, there is a puzzle here. The Chinese have abused their customers. Are they aware of this? Do they have the fundamentals of how capitalism works?
I think that China right now is so arrogant that they think that they can say and do anything and that everybody else will accept it. And we are starting to see across a broad range of sectors that no, that they Chinese have overestimated their ability to compel others to do what Beijing wants.
And Alan, we just have a less than a minute here. Does the manufacturing base in the U.S. see all of this, or is it discouraged in any fashion by China's competition? How do they think of it?
U.S.-based manufacturers right now, based on every indicator we have, from sentiment-based indicators where they're literally asked, how do you feel about your future prospects, to the actual production numbers put out by the Federal Reserve, they are going like gangbusters, and they're optimistic about their future prospects. And what's fascinating about this, especially to me, is that these good times, even boom times for U.S.-based manufacturers are coming, despite the fact that every single dollar of President Trump's China tariffs, which were widely predicted to just devastate U.S. manufacturing, remain in place.
Alan Tonelson, independent economic analyst, Gordon Chang. I'm John Batchelor.